And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. There is incredible power in prophecy, and it's not only in the book of Revelation, which we know is the end, the last days, and tells us mighty things about what God is going to do and what man in his puny ways will try to do, but will ultimately, of course, fail. The whole Bible, of course, is a book of prophecy. There are many hundreds of prophecies, none of which has ever failed. And I want to talk to you today about truth and lies. You know, the Bible discusses lies and liars. But we are plagued today in the 21st century by liars. Liars. They're all around us. They exist everywhere. They're in our banks and our sales places. We might have a husband or a wife who is a liar, a boyfriend or a girlfriend who constantly lie. But certainly our politicians have developed lying into a fine art. That is not a compliment, by the way, to say that lying is a fine art. In fact, this may be one of the worst things you can say about a man or a woman, to call them a liar. Now, where did the lie come from? When was it first conceived? We know, of course, that Satan is a liar. In fact, Jesus identified Satan as the father of the lie. Satan invented the lie. Whereas, of course, Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. In fact, there is no end to God's kingdom. And Jesus has always been. He has always been, and therefore the truth has always existed. The Bible makes clear that God is not a liar and that God cannot lie. You know, I've often joked before that I know something that God cannot do. There's only one thing that God cannot do. I suppose he could lie, but God has chosen not to lie so that we would have an example. And so Jesus Christ came to earth in the form of a man, and during his very brief 33 years on this planet, he never told a lie. I assume that every human being who has ever lived has told some kind of a lie or other. I can remember one time that I lied to my father. Just once. But I'll never forget it. And he knew I was lying. And he sat down and asked me to tell him about a certain matter, and, well, then I told him the truth. And he said, "Okay, I'm disappointed in you." That's all he had to say. He didn't whip me. He didn't take away my allowance or whatever. We didn't get anything like that. He didn't rant and rave. He didn't beat me. He didn't say I was a terrible person. He just looked at me and he said, "I'm disappointed." Boy. Boy. That was the worst thing that I had ever heard. "I'm disappointed." Well, I never told a lie again. And I certainly regretted that one. But most of us at one time or another have told a lie. Who told a lie? And sometimes we tell lies for, well, just for what we think are useful, convenient purposes. They're really not, but it's just that maybe we can't think of something better to say. Well, we should think of something better to say. But politicians are probably the worst of the liars. Because when politicians lie, it usually means that somebody is going to die. Now, let me say that again. When a politician lies, it usually means that someone is going to die. Sometimes the lie is used to cover up deaths that have already occurred. You know, Jesus, one time toward the end of his life here on earth, was called before Pilate, the governor of Judea. And of course, Jesus was being held to account for what he had done. Well, what had he done? Well, Pilate wanted to get to the bottom of it. Because, you see, Pilate had the power of life and death. He could put Jesus to death, or he could let him go. Now, you would have thought that Jesus would have said anything to save his life, but he didn't. Pilate asked the Jews, "What has this man done?" And they said, "Well, he makes himself into a king. He's rebellious. He's a revolutionary. He makes himself into a king. And if you let him go, you're not Caesar's friend." Yeah, the Jews who hated Caesar, who hated Pilate, who hated everything the Romans stood for, used Caesar to attempt to put Jesus to death. "If you let this man go," they told the Roman governor, "you're no friend of Caesar's because he's made himself into a king. And only Caesar makes kings, and Caesar has made Herod the Idumean. He has made Herod the king. This man is an imposter. He's a liar, and he should be put to death for it." So Pilate decided to get to the bottom of it. Let me read to you what Pilate had to say that fateful day. When Jesus was called to account before Pilate, "Pilate therefore said unto him, 'Art thou a king then?' Jesus answered, 'Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice.'" Jesus did not deny that he was a king. He did tell Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, my servants would fight for me." But there he was, all alone, every man having abandoned him, even Peter having lied and three times falsely stated, "I know not this man." All alone. But did he lie? No. When he was asked, "Are you a king?" he said, "Yes. It's just as you say. I'm a king. This is why I was born. This is the cause that I came into the world. that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Oh, yes. You see, Pilate had studied under Aristotle and Socrates and all of the great Greeks and Romans and all the philosophers, and they would debate for many a hour what is truth. And they finally came to the conclusion that truth is relative. It depends on who's saying it and what they're talking about. And so Pilate didn't understand someone who simply said, I speak the truth. And if you're of the truth, you will hear my voice. Pilate didn't hear his voice, did he? Pilate asked, what is truth? Now, I believe Pilate should have checked a little bit further. Maybe he would have found that Jesus had made a statement, I am the way, the life, and the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth. Satan is the inventor of the lie. But Jesus did not invent truth. He was truth. He didn't need to invent anything. He was. And he is truth. Having rejected Jesus and his truth today, most Americans are liars. They're liars. That depends on the individual how much of a liar they are. But they're all liars. If you believe in Jesus, if you tell a lie, you will be hurt. Now, there's nobody out there that's going to get a bull whip and whip you. Maybe they won't even ever discover the lie that you've told, although Jesus himself said, everything that you whisper is someday going to be heard. Somebody's going to find out about it. But it will hurt you. It hurts every Christian to tell a lie. You see, when you accept Jesus as Lord, he comes into your heart. And your heart cannot tell a lie. Because it grieves the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Lie or truth? Lie or truth? It will haunt you. Your conscience will rend you. And some people have been killed by their conscience, believe me. Killed because of a lie that they've told. Now, most of our political leaders are today psychopaths. Now, what is a psychopath? You know, for some years now, I've been studying psychopathy. I'm writing a book right now about psychopaths. It's quite interesting. It seems that about 1 out of every 20 individuals turns out to be a psychopath. 1 out of 20. When you look around you, 1 out of 20 people that you meet is a psychopath. Now, psychopaths do not only lie, they enjoy lying. They don't lie to get out of something or to cover up something. They lie because, well, they simply lie. That's what they do. And they don't feel bad about it. They're not hurt inside about it. Their conscience does not bother them. They have no conscience. And when they tell a lie or when they murder a person, when they torture a man or woman, they don't feel guilty about it. They don't even have remorse, none. Now, frankly, I don't understand that. I don't understand the psychopath. But you see, if you're a normal person, you cannot understand the psychopath. If you're on a jury and you're there to determine the truth or the lie of a psychopath, whether, let's say, he has murdered a series of people, you may come to the conclusion that, well, we shouldn't give the guy the death penalty. Let's give him a chance to reform. Maybe 20 years, 30 years in prison, 40. Let's give him a chance to reform, to rehabilitate himself. He'll see the error of his ways. He'll realize what a mistake he's made. He'll change his path. He'll take college courses while he's in prison. He'll do well. No, he won't. A psychopath cannot be reformed. Now, I understand that if you're a liberal, you think he can. You think that everybody can be reformed. You think that everybody can be rehabilitated and made to be a better person, a better man or woman. You're wrong. There are people that have been put into this world, and they do evil, and they follow the devil, and they never feel guilty about it. They will never feel guilty about it until the day that they die and go to hell. There are men foreordained of old for this very condemnation. If you don't believe me, then read the book of James. They're foreordained of old for this very condemnation. Before they were ever born, they were found by God to be a liar. You say, how's that possible, Tex? Before they were ever born? Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. While they were in their mother's womb, before they were in their mother's womb, hundreds of years, thousands of years ago, they were foreordained for this very condemnation. You say that's impossible. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Judas was one. Jesus said it would have been better if this man, Judas, had never been born than that he betray the Son of God. Wow. Think about that. Now, perceiving that most Americans are liars, like they are liars, our politicians are very quick to take advantage of this situation. For example, our presidents lie to us constantly. I've been very grieved over the last week or two to read the reports of this torture report that's been released by the Senate Committee of Dianne Feinstein, Senator Feinstein. It's only around 500 pages long. It's quite a lot, though, isn't it? That's bigger than a book. But it was 6,500 or 7,000 pages long. They redacted most of it. What does redact mean? It's a big word, means basically they cut it out. It was so bad that maybe 14 out of 15 pages they didn't even put in there. You understand what I'm saying? It was so bad, so evil, so full of lies and dirt and horror that they couldn't even tell it to people. You're getting the best of the 7,000 pages. Now, what is the best? It means the least. The least smutty and horrible and depraved and murderous. That's all you're getting. You're getting not the dregs, you're getting the fine cream at the top. They don't want you to know what they've redacted. Now, I have found out what most of the redactions are all about. But they don't want you to know how terrible they've been, how they've tortured these people. And they don't want you to understand that the news media have lied and knowingly lied and continue to lie. And how Karl Rove and the political advisor to Bush and George W. Bush himself, and of course the head of the CIA and the head of the NSA, are nothing but a bunch of filthy, dirty, rotten, corrupt liars. And our vice president at the time. I hate to even mention his name. What is his name, Jerry? Oh, yeah, Dick Cheney. I mean, I'm not overstating it to say that Satan is going to welcome that man into hell. Satan is going to welcome that man. He is a filthy, dirty, torturing liar. Now, if you're one of the Americans who says torture is necessary, torture is good, we did good with torturing, it's the American way, I say to you, go to hell. You're not going to be taken in heaven. Go to hell. You're a devil. Torture has never been good. Torture has never achieved anything that its proponents claim for it. Torture is lies. And there's a reason why they're going around and Dick Cheney and Keith Alexander, head of the former general head of the NSA, and all of these, this Rodriguez who was in charge of this program, they're all going around all the talk shows saying, oh, it was necessary and it was legal. I heard Cheney, he said it was authorized by the president. It was authorized by the president. Who is authorized to say, torture that man? Who? That's like torturing the Son of God. Who was it that said, torture this man, Jesus? Who was authorized to do such a terrible act to our Lord and Savior? Yes, he was tortured also. What man among you would say, I gave the order to torture Jesus Christ, and it was a righteous, good, moral order? But wait, these people committed 9/11. Wait, these people killed 3,000 Americans, did they not? You don't know that. You don't know that. You don't know but what everything you have ever been told is a lie. You don't know that bin Laden is dead at the hands of American SEAL Team 6. You don't even know whether SEAL Team 6 is alive or not, or whether they've been murdered, massacred, because they might tell the lie, the truth, that is. And listen to me very carefully. All the torture that went on inside Iraq, in Abu Ghraib and all those places in the country of Iraq, were those people, and did they do 9/11? I thought the 9/11 were 17 or 19 Arabs, mostly from Saudi Arabia. They weren't even Iraqis. We weren't torturing the people who did 9/11. We were torturing the people we were opposed to who were Iraqi. Iraq did not do 9/11. Saddam Hussein was not guilty. He also didn't have weapons of mass destruction. So when we took him in and we tortured Saddam Hussein, and then we put him on the gallows and hung him, it was not because of 9/11. Get the facts in your head. We have admitted that Saddam Hussein, we have admitted he did not do 9/11, nor did anyone from Iraq. Not one person from Iraq did 9/11. So what did we do all the torturing for? Can you answer that, dear friends? Well, they did 9/11. Really? Yeah. Sheikh Khalif Mohammed, he did it. Why? Why, we know he did it. How do you know? Well, we waterboarded him 183 times. He told us everything. You need to read the history of the Inquisition. Women were brought in and they told everything. How they were into witchcraft. How they had said horrible things about Jesus. Oh, these people were horrible, horrible people. And all it took was some torture. Oh my, you'll confess a lot when you're being tortured, when your eyes are being gouged out, when your teeth are being battered, when hot, huge faggots of steel pierce your skin and go into vital organs. And you're in such desperate pain, you'll tell them all. All those lies. Oh, wait. You might tell the truth. But how will they know? How will they? I mean, Muhammad, they say he was waterboarded 183 times. Have you ever been waterboarded one time? I was reading of a talk show host. He said he didn't think that was torture. Now, that's not torture. He was challenged. Let us waterboard you. And so he said, I'll take that challenge. And he did. He lasted, what, about 1.5 minutes? He said that was torture. But he knew he was going to get, whenever he said the word, they would let him go. It was just a test. But he said it was definitely torture. He changed his mind. But they didn't let Caliph Sheikh Mohammed go. How long did they, 183 times they waterboarded him? Boy, those guys didn't know how to torture. I could have got that out of him in just 3 or 4 sessions. If I'd been a monster, if I'd been the devil, they'd love to torture the man so much they went back over and over and over and did it again and again and again and again. And he told them everything. He told them about how his son did this. His grandson did this. He told them the names of everybody. They're people that they'd never heard of before. Oh, they heard all kind of stuff from him. That's why they don't torture. In the Inquisition, the most godly women were tortured. And they told about worshiping the devil. First, they tried to hold out. And after they took them on the rack and on this thing, and they stretched them, and their skin was cut to pieces, and they were ghastly looking, near death. And they said, well, are you going to tell us the truth? Oh, okay. All right, I'll tell you the truth. Yes, I am a witch. Ah, yes, she's confessing now. Finally, we've got her to confess. Don't you see it, dear friend? Don't you understand? It's not just the fact that we're Americans. We're Christians. You evangelical Christians that are all for war in the Middle East and for murdering of the Palestinians. You're the ones that put George W. Bush in office. You're the ones that supported Dick Cheney. You supported him when he tortured, and you support him today, and you are a monster, and you are headed for hell too. Don't tell me I go to the First Baptist Church or the First Methodist Church. You're a hellish devil person. You are a liar. You do not bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth the voice of Jesus Christ. I ask you this question. Would Jesus Christ torture, or would he be the tortured? Let history decide that answer. We'll be right back after this brief message. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. You know, we have a book we're offering now. It's called Hellstorm. Hellstorm. One word. Hellstorm. It's a book of truth in a world of lies. I want to repeat that again. Hellstorm is a book of truth in a world of lies. Would you like to know the truth about what happened to Germany after World War II? You won't get it from the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. or any one of 1,000 establishment books, but I believe you'll hear everything you want to know in this book, Hellstorm. It's 375 pages. It's written by a truth teller, Thomas Goodrich. He's gone and got the documents. You know, they, after so many years, they finally release things to people like you and me and Mr. Goodrich. You know, it's been about, 55 years and almost 70 years now. And they feel like, well, the principal parties are dead. Eisenhower's dead. Patton, of course, was murdered. Truman's dead. Roosevelt, he's long gone. So they released documents. And what do these documents tell us? What nothing did before. They talk about the truth. They talk about the Morgenthau Plan that was executed in Germany. Millions of Germans died after World War II. Millions of Germans went to concentration camps after World War II. Who were their jailers? Americans? British? Naturally, Russians. Hellstorm talks about the rapes, the plunders, the murders, the thievery, the whatever bad word you want. Whatever horror you can imagine, it was visited upon the Germans. I suppose this is why we did not let them surrender. You know, the Germans tried several times to surrender. They wanted to surrender to us, but we wouldn't let them. We plowed on to the end. We wanted unconditional surrender. Because we wanted to do whatever we wanted to do after the war. And we put the Jews in charge and they did what they do best, which is murder and kill and lie. Hellstorm is just $25. As far as I'm concerned, you can take the other 1,000 books that have been written about World War II, mostly by Jews, and you could go make yourself a jolly bonfire and burn them all. But this one book, it tells the truth. This one book will let you know what really happened. Isn't it time? It's been some 70 years. Isn't it time to discover the truth of World War II? It wasn't the good war by the good generation. And I'm not so sure that we supported the right side. Pat Buchanan, you know, has written a book. He says we supported the Soviet Union. We should have supported Germany. I mean, after all, look at the two alleged Holocaust. We're told that Hitler did perpetrated a terrible Holocaust. Some 6 million Jews died. That's what we're told. But Solzhenitsyn, the great historian, says that Lenin and Stalin, the boys in Russia, they committed a Holocaust too, and 66 million died. 6 million versus 66 million. We did support the wrong side, didn't we? Or maybe we should have just kept our mouths shut and stayed in America. Maybe we should have let those people take care of their own business. But we were a nation of lies, and we still are. Hellstorm, $25. Please add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $30. Ask for it. Just phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, 1-800-234-9673. Or go to the website, textmars.com, or powerofprophecy.com. You can buy it there. Just send us $30. Total of $30. Ask for the book Hellstorm at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. We'll be glad to send it to you. And by the way, if you can afford to send a little extra, we would sure appreciate it. You know, after all, we are your ambassador. We represent you. And we're going to continue to represent you. Because we hear the voice. We hear the voice of truth, which is Jesus Christ. And if you hear that voice, I pray that you'll support this ministry, Power of Prophecy. Let's return to our regular program now. We're talking about truth and lies. I was saying that psychopaths lie because they have no conscience. Therefore, the truth is not in them. The truth is not in them. Psychopaths, you see, are like a different species. They're not like human beings. I mean, oh, they have eyes, they have ears. They appear to be human beings, but they're not. In one sense, they're reptilian. There are people that say, you know, they think that some human beings are so devilish that they're really reptiles with just human skin over a reptilian form. I've never exactly seen anything like that. I'm not going to testify one way or another. But I believe they are reptilian in their hearts. Now, we're bombarded on every side, all four sides really, by liars. When Pilate went back to the waiting Jews and declared of Jesus, "I find no fault in him." Think of that. Think of that. Pilate went back and declared to the Jews, "I find no fault in him," speaking of Jesus. But the Jews were adamant. They demanded that Pilate crucify him. And so they had delivered Jesus to Pilate. And Pilate said, "Then let it be your act. I wash my hands of this." Now, everywhere we turn, we're facing lies today. President Obama lied to us about Obamacare, didn't he? If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your current medical plan, you can keep it. He knew it was a lie when he said it, but he said it over and over and over again. He's a multiple liar. His health care advisor, Jonathan Gruber, a Jew, MIT professor, revealed recently, it's on YouTube, all over the YouTube, in fact. Dr. Gruber says that Obama and his team believe that the American people are so stupid that they decided to put lies throughout the bill, to doctor it up in such a way that it was difficult for us to read. You remember that Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi said we have to pass the bill in order to know what's in it. I never heard of anything like that. She had never even read the bill. She said, "We have to pass it in order to know what's in it." That's what Gruber said. The American people are so stupid, if we put a bunch of obscure language in it, they'll buy it. Now, I sit here on watching television for months when they were discussing debating this bill. And every Democrat said, "This bill is going to save you, the typical American family, $2,500 a year. Think of it. We're going to go out and we're going to give Medicaid to millions of people." I knew all those illegal aliens were going to get it. They said there's 35 to 40 million Americans that don't have medical care right now. We propose to give them all medical care. I thought, wow, that's going to cost a lot of money. 35 to 40 million Americans are going to get medical care? That's going to break the bank. That's going to drive America into bankruptcy. But then the good news was the Democrats said, "It's not going to cost you as much as you're paying now for medical care. In fact, you're going to save money. This bill is going to save you money." And I thought, well, these people are shysters. They're con artists. But there they were with their PhDs and their senator so-and-so and congressman so-and-so lying, 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 lying. They didn't believe it. They wanted you to believe it. And enough of you did. This monstrosity called Obamacare passed. And it's passed every time, the House and the Senate. Why? Because the House and the Senate lie, lie, lie to you. House Speaker John Boehner is Republican. He controls the U.S. House. At any time since 2009, when this bill passed, the House of Representatives could have said, we're not spending money on this bill, period. That's it. Folks, that does the bill. Don't you understand? The House of Representatives has the power of the purse. The Constitution of the United States, which I have taught at college level, says exactly that. The House approves money for everything that goes that is spent in America. If they don't approve the money, it does not happen. But they did approve the money. And then what did they do to the American people? They lied to you. In fact, House Speaker Boehner said 41 times we have voted to repeal this bill. Oh, yes, we voted 41 straight times to repeal the bill. But he forgot to tell you that 27 times they voted to pay for it. And just recently, Obama and he got together and had a little joy meeting with Senator McConnell over in the Senate and Senator Harry Reid, the devilish Mormon, and Ms. Pelosi, and they all agreed to laugh they're laughing at us. They're drinking their cocktails and their highballs and laughing at you and me. They keep approving the money for it. Ha, 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 ha. Here's the money for Obamacare. Ha, ha, ha. Next week, we're going to vote to repeal it again. Ah! What idiots the American people are. My friend, if you believe that John Boehner ever intended to vote out Obamacare, you are an idiot. But I don't think you are. I think you're very wise. I think the reason you're listening to me as I'm ranting and raving today is because you know the truth. You know that John Boehner lied to you over and over. You know that Obama lied to you. You know that Senator Reid lied to you. You know that Congresswoman Pelosi lied and lied and lied. Back in President Nixon's day, of course, there was Watergate and Vietnam. Lies. Why did they get mad when the Pentagon Papers were leaked? Why did they get mad? Because it told the truth about Vietnam. Why didn't they want the truth out? And we had lost thousands of troops over there dead. Why didn't they want you to know why they died? How they died? They got mad at the man who released the papers, didn't they?
Well, he released those papers. That's terrible. We're not supposed to let the American people know. Oh, ho, ho.
That's what they're doing right now. You're not supposed to know about their torture. I said it three times, didn't I? I want to make sure that you get it. It's not coercive interrogation techniques. It's not enhanced interrogation techniques. Those are lying words. It's torture. You have been approving torture. You have been torturing live human beings. And many of them died. I'm trying to tell you, they died. They didn't just get some little towel put in their mouth and water put on and ha, ha, ha. Let's have fun with this guy. I'm talking about people who were beat to death. I'm talking about women who were raped and then murdered. I'm talking about young boys who were sodomized by American soldiers and CIA agents. What secrets could they have revealed, these little boys? Do you really think it was necessary to give them rectal feeding? Rectal feeding. Karl Rove was on TV this weekend. He said there's nothing wrong with rectal feeding. It was authorized. Who in hell authorized it? Who authorized it? Put them in prison. Try them. All of these people are devils. Why do we tolerate it? Why do you sit there listening to me? Why aren't you writing a letter to your congressman? They think you don't care. They know you don't care if you don't write them a letter, if you don't phone them, if you don't make the phones melt down with the
heavy load of phone calls. It wasn't necessary to torture all those people. In fact, let me tell you the truth. The Senate report itself says it didn't work. Did you hear what I just said? They said we tortured all these people for years and never once did we get any useful information. So all of you people out there, they're telling me, whoa, we found out all kind of stuff. We stopped 100 different 911s. You're liars. Not only have you been covering up this torture, but the torture didn't even work. It never works. I'm telling you the truth. It doesn't work. Why? Because when a person is tortured, they'll tell you anything.
Nuremberg, we determined we're going to get all these Nazis, all the top Nazis. We're going to put them on trial. We're going to film it. We're going to make a record of it. By the way, go online, go to YouTube and look at the Nuremberg trials. Oh, it's impressive. Big court-martial board. And they're over there in the dock or sitting the Germans. Oh, and it's made that you'll hate those Germans because all these witnesses get up and tell about the terrible things that they did. There's just one problem. They were all lies. They were all tortured. They were forced to lie. Now, there are two reports out there, my friends. There's the Senate Intelligence Committee report that Dianne Feinstein has released. But 2 years ago, they released a Senate Armed Services Committee report. Maybe you didn't know that. You didn't know there were two reports. Let me tell you about the Senate Armed Services Committee report. It said all the torturing that we've done was done so that we could get the prisoners to lie. Ah, yes.
That's why we tortured them. We wanted them to lie. And then when they lied, we could go do something about it. After all, we now know for sure that Saddam Hussein did not have weapons of mass destruction. It was necessary to torture his people. Why did we torture the generals that we had kidnapped and taken over during the war on Iraq? Why did we take them and torture them? Why was one of the generals put in a sleeping bag and stoned to death? Yes, that's what we did to him. We stoned him to death. Oh, was that why we did that? We got them to lie. You have weapons of mass destruction, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Okay, go ahead and kill him. He's of no use to us anymore. He's already admitted it. The purpose of torture was not to get truthful confessions, but to get the opponent, the prisoner, to lie. Do you understand me? We tortured so that they would lie.
Remember Bill Clinton? What lies rolled off that guy's lips?
Remember, I never had sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky.
That's what he told us, but he did have sex with her.
When the impeachment mess was getting a little heavy there, Clinton decided to take our attention off of Monica, and he went to the Sudan that had never done anything to America, the Sudan, a country in Africa, and he bombed a Tylenol factory.
He said, I found weapons of mass destruction. And he bombed it.
He bombed a Tylenol factory. Now the people didn't have anything for their headaches anymore. He bombed a Tylenol factory. Claimed he was looking for weapons of mass destruction. And then the Sudan wanted to be our friends. It turned out that that Osama bin Laden was passing through one time, and they grabbed him. They put him in jail, and they informed Bill Clinton and Janet Reno as Attorney General, we have Osama bin Laden. We'll turn him over to you if you want him. Think about it. The Sudan had Osama bin Laden in their grip. Bill Clinton said, let him go. We don't want him. Let him go. We don't want him. Because Bill Clinton knew that Osama bin Laden had never done anything to us and, in fact, was paid by the CIA. George Bush was a consummate liar.
He lied about serving in the National Guard during Vietnam. He never served. He enlisted the help of Great Britain, and he and Mr. Blair over there lied about intelligence pointing to WMDs in Iraq. That lie alone resulted in thousands of American servicemen and women dying and losing limbs in a grotesque war to stop Saddam Hussein from employing non-existent mushroom cloud weapons. Remember Condoleezza Rice, the lesbian, the filthy, dirty lesbian who said, "We're going to see mushroom clouds all over America. I can see it now." Yes, she was a liar. We massacred 500,000 Iraqi people, mostly women and children. But they weren't the first. Woodrow Wilson was a big liar. President Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman. Why? Woodrow Wilson claimed that the Germans sank one of our passenger liners, the Lusitania, in the Atlantic. The Lusitania had great loss of American lives. And all they were doing were they were taking a nice tour, going over to Great Britain, just a nice passenger liner. What he didn't tell you, what Woodrow Wilson didn't tell the American people was the Lusitania was full of weapons for Great Britain. We took sides in that war. The Germans knew it. They sank the liner. We declared war on Germany. And thousands of American lives were lost in World War I. Of course, Wilson also gave us the IRS in 1913. And he said to us, "We will never tax more than the top 2% of American earners." Think of it. Only the top 2%. They're the only ones that'll ever have to pay an income tax. You people out there, you middle class people, don't even worry about it. You'll never have to pay a cent. Lie. Lie. The Federal Reserve. Oh, no, that's a federal group. We call it the Federal Reserve. Yeah, it's the Federal Reserve Board. That's right. It's a federal organization. That's a lie. It's owned by banks. It's owned by banks, individual banks. Didn't tell us that, did he? He lied to us. Then in World War II, Roosevelt was the biggest liar of all times. He knew. Our intelligence told us the Japanese were going to attack. Admiral Kimmel was told not to prepare. And on Sunday, December 7, 1941, he was told, "Don't put your troops on alert." He sent a telegraph back to the Pentagon. "Are you sure?" "I must. I believe. I'm seeing signs that the Japanese may attack today." "No," they said. "No, do what we say." They wanted the Japanese to attack. Now, they took three of our great aircraft carriers out of Pearl Harbor. Did you know that, folks? Our three aircraft carriers were taken out so that they wouldn't get bombed. Roosevelt surrendered half of Europe to a madman. And we didn't know anything about it. He was going to these secret conferences. But he gave half of Europe. He gave up Poland, Czechoslovakia, the Baltic states, Albania, Yugoslavia. All he gave away to the mad communist, the man that was responsible for 66 million, mostly Christians, being butchered. That's what he did. Well, now it's 2015. President Obama says, "We need billions to fight this ISIS, this Islamic State in the Middle East." What he doesn't tell you is the United States and Israel together formed ISIS. We're the boss of ISIS. We fund it. And John McCain and all these monsters are out there going to Syria and setting it up and all that. We're destabilizing the Middle East, destabilizing it. We were told we've got to have the Middle East, all that oil. If we don't have the Middle East oil, America is going to be brought to a halt. All of our automobile traffic, all of our industry, we don't have enough oil. But suddenly we have enough oil. Suddenly, we're the world's greatest oil store. Oil is coming out of our ears, coming out of our noses. Who's been lying to us about that? Now there's the amnesty. Obama says he's going to give it to 5 million. Don't worry, you're not going to be deported. I don't care about the law. Amnesty Act. Boehner says, well, here's the money for it. You Americans that are complaining about it, too late. The Chamber of Commerce, good boys, we did it together, didn't we? Google, Facebook, Amazon, we pulled one over the American people, didn't we? We got together with Obama. They're all for it. The Republicans, do you finally get it? We won the election, or did we? We just won the biggest election, the Republicans. And within weeks, Boehner passed a trillion-dollar act that pays for Obamacare, that pays for the ISIS war that we've created over there in the Middle East so we can go massacre hundreds of thousands of more in the Middle East, so we can give Israel the money it needs for more submarines, for more missiles, for more aircraft, for more tanks, so they can terrorize the Palestinians. After all, the Palestinians are troublemakers. They use stones against us. They're like cavemen. They use stones. So we're going to have nuclear submarines, nuclear bombs, new aircraft to stop those people down there that might have stones against us, might even have bottle rockets. Yeah. And the House of Representatives is approving this. The House of Representatives that it has been. The Republicans want war in the Middle East. And Cruz, Senator Cruz, he's part of that. Senator Rand Paul, he's part of that. Ask Rand Paul, who goes to his office every day. He says, every day I'm consulted by Israelis. That's what he said. Every day, the Israelis tell him what to do. Obama told Sarkozy, the president of France, he said, I have to put up with Netanyahu every single day. Israel has its representatives throughout the Congress telling us what to do, supervising America. They're the banks. They run our military. They run our Pentagon. They run our intelligence services. They're listening to you on the phone, on the internet, and they're telling lies. Very soon, you and I may be sitting in jail cells. And when you're there, friend, don't moan to me about how we've been lied to. Don't moan to me. It might be too late. I think it already is too late. I think the only one we've got now is Jesus Christ to turn to. But if you're listening to this program, if you're still listening to this program, and you still care, I trust you do, that's going to be enough. That's all we've got is Jesus Christ. Thank God. He is enough. Let's turn to Him for our salvation. I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to Truth and Lies today. My prayer is that you'll tune into this program each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.